Okay, thank you, Lord. We just thank you for another night of coming together. We just praise you. We just come against any issues as far as any equipment. And we just ask you just give Michael wisdom, figure out how to get our maps turned back on. We just praise you for that, Lord. We just bind up the principalities and powers to bring any distractions or any complications. And we just thank you, Lord. We just ask you to bless everybody tonight. Just bless what I bring forth tonight, and we just ask that we can edify each other and just come together in faith and come together in one accord, and we just praise you for this time, and we just thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right, let's go ahead and see if anybody's got any prayer needs, need prayer, or something like to lift up in prayer, put our faith together in. All right. Yeah, I was mentioning to Jackie before the call that the testimony she shared about her sister and just the cancer-free and putting on the oncologist's mind to not go ahead and do the radiation, but go ahead and do some further checking. And I just thought that was I've just been thinking about that. And I really see where we can see that as answered prayers. And I've seen this a lot with the Lord where, we can definitely see the Lord in that whole thing. But he always gives the world a way out. He always gives the world, if they want to believe other than that, if they want to believe man or they want to believe the doctor, or they want to believe the false diagnosis or, there's always that little bit of doubt there. So the people that don't want to, see God in it, don't see God in it. But I just think it was so awesome that, Jackie, brought it forth. We put our faith together and the Lord just brought a miracle. So I thought it was I was just been blessed about the answered prayers I've been seeing and the things that, it seems like it's the Lord's just been ramping up prayers and they're coming quicker and it's kind of neat. So, all right, anybody have anything, any prayer, anything they want to pray about tonight?
Could you put me on mute? I just got here. This is Linda.
I certainly can. Hey, Linda.
Thank you so much.
I got to write your phone numbers down with who I know who you are. Yes.
Yeah, this is Judy. I would like to pray for my daughter, Angie. She's got carpal tunnel in her hands, and she said now it's going over to the other hand. And she thinks she's, I don't know, she said her mind is racing, so like she's bipolar or something. I don't know what she thinks she is. But, Lord, I'm just going to bring up Angie to you. You know that what her problem is as far as her mind, she said it always races. So slow her mind down and let her be able to think. She doesn't have any of these diseases or problems that man says she has, bipolar or whatever it is. And if you can heal her and make her whole, Lord, so help her with her mind. And, Lord, take the evil spirits and demons from her with her hands. Her hands have been bothering her a lot, and she needs them to be okay to do her work. Well, thank you, Lord, so much for being with Angie and being with all of my family. And I give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you that if Angie doesn't know you in the fullness, that you just bring her into that fullness, that you'll use this to help her to get her eyes on you, Lord. And if there's any cause for this curse, Lord, we just ask you to expose that to her right now. And we just thank you, Lord, that we put our faith together for Angie. And we just thank you for her true salvation. We thank you for just working in her for your good glory, Lord, and your will. And we just praise you for it, Lord. And we just bind up and rebuke the principalities and powers that are coming against her mind. We just forbid that in the name of Jesus. Come against just any mind control, just any witchcraft, anything like that. And we call whatever that spirit is, that bipolar, that demon that's on her, we just bind that up now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for a miracle. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Awesome. All right, who else? Does anybody want to pray for or needs prayer?
It's Nora.
Hey, Nora.
Hi. I would like you to pray for me, please.
Okay.
What Michael Montana was talking about last week Tuesday, Tuesday evening at your site was exactly my experience, and I realized lately that most of what I know is mental ascent, that I don't have a clue what it means to walk by faith. And I've been going around in circles, and I realized that I don't get anywhere. And I was so self-righteous and just judgmental. And I only listened to his what he said about being a Pharisee last night. And I realized that's exactly my problem. And I would like for you to pray for me, please.
Well, okay. So, Father, you know Nora's heart right now. And she's crying out to you. There's been conviction in her heart as far as acting like a Pharisee and walking in self-righteousness. And Lord, she doesn't want to do that, Lord. And she wants to give that to you. And she wants to walk right before you, Lord. And she wants self to die. She wants to put that old man, to bury that old man and not allow him to resurrect anymore, Lord. And Father, she just she wants to give up her life to take up your life, Lord. And Lord, she really doesn't know what walking in faith is. She's been in control. She's been doing it. And she wants to turn the reins from self over to you, Lord, and allow you to guide her and direct her and be your king. And we just and just be her deliverer. But Father, right now, we just thank you for just working in her heart. And we just ask, you say faith is from you, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you just fill her with your faith, Lord. Father, she's asking for just a renewed mind and to help her to get her eyes on you and not on herself, Lord. So, Father, right now, we just ask you to open her spiritual eyes and allow her to see in the Spirit. Allow her to discern her flesh and see the things in her life that are in control or trying to hang on, so she can give them to you. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for just a renewing of her, refreshing her in you, Lord. We just come against any religious spirits right now, any spirits of works, and we forbid that in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just bind them up now in Jesus' name. And we just ask, Lord, that you just teach her how to rest in you. And we just fill her heart full of love. Allow her to love all unconditionally. And just show her what the love of Christ is. Just fill her fresh with your love, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. You know her needs. We just ask you to meet her needs. And we put our faith together for Nora. And we just thank you for blessing her. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. So it says, confess your sins and you'll be healed. So just as the Lord shows you, just confess them, give it to him, and he's going to set you free, Nora. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, let's see. Kemp, this is Wade.
Hey, Wade.
I'm wondering where our responsibility lies, how far we have to go with things like eating healthy food, eating health food. I have a friend that's insisting, since my wife came down with diabetes, but whatever it be, it's high blood sugar, that I have to change my diet and follow the diet he recommends from his sister, who's a doctor. And I'm not sure where my responsibility lies. I want to be healthy, and for Christ's sake, but I don't want to have to go and buy this health food and this and that. I don't know. I'm at a loss with this.
Okay. Well, I'll kind of share what's on my heart, and if anybody else wants to jump in, as far as in this, but I think that, as far as, trying to eat health food is, number one, very expensive. And, as far as, because at one time, as far as in our life, I mean, we pretty much made food, kind of an idol, and health food and organic. And, we kind of went down that path of, supplements and, just a lot of different things. And the Lord kind of delivered us out of that. And, right now we just, I really believe it's just kind of, you kind of know what's good for you and what's not good for you. And, you got to, cut down on certain things as far as, sugars and fats and, a lot of different things. And I'm not a nutritionist or anything like that, but the thing is it's just, when I'm feeding my flesh, when I'm, eating stuff that I don't know, I know it, as far as that. I know what's kind of healthy, in me and what isn't healthy. There's times that I just, it's not necessarily, going into a total fast or anything like that, but there's times where I'll just start cutting back on, anything with fats or oils or sugar or caffeine sometimes and start eating more live foods, salads and fruits and stuff like that. But a lot of that time it's when it's in season. Right now, certain things are in season, certain things are affordable, but, when apples go over $2 a pound or something like that, I'm not necessarily buying a bunch of apples. I typically will just buy what's on sale and just try to, instead of eating a bowl of ice cream, when cherries are in season or grapes or something like that, I'll have a bowl of grapes, And I'll try to, I'll try to eat, if I buy yogurt, I'll buy non-fat yogurt. And, instead of buying whole milk, I buy 2%. I just start looking at things like that. And really, and the other thing I see is portions are a big thing. I mean, our flesh always wants the big portion. And if you start cutting back on portions, what I found is, we have a potluck once a month, or we call it a pot blessing. And boy, in the beginning, I would just heat my plate up, and my flesh was just wants to eat everything that's out there. We got all the desserts and that. And then, we get together for fellowship, and I'm absolutely miserable. I just feel bad. I'm tired. I knew I overindulged. So I've learned that I can't take those big portions. So it's really cutting back on the portions. And, even with me, I drink a lot of coffee in the morning, and Trisha's always saying, have you had water today? And I'm trying to drink more water and stay away from the teas and the coffees and stuff like that for the whole day. So it's just, you got to, just ask the Lord to give you wisdom, have him lead you. But really, there's certain things. I mean, when there's pumpkin pie out there, man, I just, you know, we'll buy a pumpkin pie, and it's just, you know, you just, man, you want to be in that thing, and it doesn't last long, you know. So you just, you know, it's just it, you know. So you just buy something like that on occasion, and you know, because if it's here, you're going to eat it. So I mean, that's my advice. I don't know. Does anybody else have anything they want to throw out there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Wade, the biggest thing is portions. Tim hit right on it right there. A lot of times, most diabetics have a trouble controlling how much they eat. But if you can control how much you eat, you know, you can eat, like Tim said, you know what's good and what's not good. Processed foods aren't good. The only, you know, fresh vegetables are good. Good meat's good. A little bit of meat's good. A whole lot of meat's not good, you know, and that's just the way it goes. So you don't have to be under the law by going the holistic route and eating every what,
right.
That got away. But you cut back on your portions by whatever it is that you know, normally eat. And you'll start losing weight, and you'll start getting right with the Lord as far as your eating habits. Gluttony is a sin. It's just like lying or stealing. It's a sin. And once we understand that it's a sin, then it makes us want to be right with the Lord. And so then we have to cut back on it. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I don't know. You know, but I know in the past we've had people here that have problems with got eating habits, you know, sometimes. Yeah, and like Tim said, come pot blessing, I just pig out, man. I tell you, it's hard to pass up all of that food. And then I pay for it afterwards, and then I have to cut back for days on end in order to get back, you know, right, my body back right. But if you just cut back on your portions considerably, you'll be fine, I think. Because the Lord wants us to eat right and not, what is that old saying, Tim? Eat to live and not live to eat. That's it.
Hey, Tim.
That's a good one. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, I just want to say this is an issue that we've been fairly close to. Angie's mother was diabetic for many years and used insulin all the time. And Angie did some study on it and changed her diet. And yeah, I mean, first there has to be stronger adjustments when somebody's breaking the habit. But within a week, she was off of insulin. And just by eating raw foods and, at least until things are really settled down, just cut the desserts, no colas and all that stuff. If somebody's drinking Coke and sweet stuff, it's ruining their pancreas, you know, if they're doing that a lot. And whether we like it or not, there's a certain amount of cause and effect. You know, I talk to people who, I have a guy that I know of, and his wife lives on Diet Cola a lot. And that aspartame, her brain is not working right, and it's obvious. It's really been, and if you read what that stuff is, it's toxic, terrible toxic stuff. And, but I asked him, what would you, on your car, would you put, what kind of oil you use? And he used the best oil in his cars. It's amazing. You know, you let your wife eat aspartame all day long, and yet you use only the finest oil in your motor. I said, there is a certain amount of cause and effect. You take care of it. I use synthetic oil in my mobile number one in my cars, and in 200,000 miles, the motors are still strong. You know, some of these things, and so much more with our bodies. I think in a time when everything is genetically modified and everything, I think we need to be, you know, it says in the scripture, you know, don't, if any man defiles the temple of God, this is our body. And I do believe that God can, in emergency, if we have nothing else, he can sanctify and make it all good. But I think it's wisdom to eat natural foods. I'm just going to say, it does cost less to eat right foods than it costs to eat junk food. Processed foods are more expensive. I can tell you that without a doubt. You can buy bananas for $1.39 for 3 or 4 pounds of them. You can buy things that are healthy for very inexpensive, but you know, we pick apples off trees that go to waste. People don't pick their pears. They don't pick their apples. It doesn't take a long time. Angie and I have had one cold each in 10 years since we've been married for 10 years. It's one cold we've had each. And that wasn't a full-size cold. We only got it for a day or so, and we were out of it. But I believe in taking care. And not just if we drink Coke and live on that stuff, we're going to have problems. There's, you know, you can pray over your Coca-Cola all day long, and it's still not blessed stuff. You stuff that down your body all the time, and it's not going to be good for you. But there's, you can go on the internet and watch people. There's whole groups of people. Do you know the name of that movie, honey? But anyway, we watched a film of where they took a whole bunch of chronic diabetic people, and within 5 days, none of them were on insulin anymore. And within a month, they were all completely delivered of diabetes just by eating raw foods and exercising, getting sunshine, drinking lots of water, and doing the basic things that are so simple. Taking care of yourself is not expensive. It's cheaper to take care of yourself than to eat a lot of junk.
Amen. If I can just add to what my husband was just sharing.
Yeah, your own.
I just wanted to share that with respect to my mom, she was, all too willing to do whatever it took to make a change in her life for the best. And it really depends on the person, you know, that's in question. I mean, on the diabetic, you know, I've heard of diabetics who would rather take their medication and take their insulin and eat their chocolate bars and drink their pop all day long. And if that's the mindset they have, if that's the will within them, then no one can change them for anything. I mean, God, of course, but, you know, you can talk till you're blue in the face or try and convince them of what's right. But if the person is willing, they can absolutely reverse diabetes. If they're willing, diabetes can be reversed. It can completely be eradicated. And, of course, the Lord can take it away, but there's also things that the person can do. And, you know, I just want to echo what my husband said and then what Michael Hare was sharing, because, you know, gluttony is indeed sin. You know, so how much is the person eating? And then what are they eating? And I think the closest, I think a really good rule of thumb is the closer we stay to what God has provided for us, you know, in the natural, in its most natural state, is really going to be the best for our bodies. Like if we think about, for instance, legumes, you know, beans, you know, all kinds of beans and seeds and nuts. And I mean, okay, so they've got protein and fat, and they're, you know, that's how God created them. Or all the vegetables. You know, you can eat any vegetable. You can eat steamed vegetables. You can eat raw vegetables. You can eat all the vegetables you want. You know, God created them. Even the animals, you know, and in moderate portions, of course. But what I would encourage this brother, you know, who's asking the question about, you know, how important it is to have natural food or health food, I just want to say health food is really, you know, the food that God has created in its most natural state. You know, if you're going to eat fish, for instance, or a little bit of meat, like we said, or the vegetables, or, you know, things like that. And also, I also want to share that people perish for lack of knowledge. And so I just want to encourage the brother who's helping the diabetic and the diabetic, you know, his
well,
or herself.
We're both diabetic.
You know. Pardon me?
We're both diabetics. My wife and I both. I've gotten serious about my diet since my wife has become a diabetic. I kind of blame myself. We eat too many sandwiches and things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, if you're eating a lot of bread, you know, that's like eating sugar, and sugar's death. You know, sugar's
right.
Not even a food. Sugar's not
that,
even a
that
food.
That was hard for me to quit, but I'm going to. I used to try to eat as cheap as I could so I could give to the starving people in Africa, but that's not a nice thing.
Well, you know, as like my husband was sharing earlier, to buy millet, you know, millet is a whole grain. You can buy millet, you know, that's considered a whole food. You can buy barley, that's considered a whole food. You know, you don't have to eat bread. You don't have to eat flour that is, you know, sugar to the pancreas immediately. But if you stick with whole foods as much as possible, I think, you know, if you and your wife are serious about this, you just have to educate yourselves as much as possible, you know, and find out about food and good nutrition, And it's not more expensive to eat healthy. Now, organic, you know, organic, yeah, that's more expensive, granted. But, you know, to buy, you know, millet or to buy barley or to buy, you know, some vegetables, I mean, carrots are not that expensive and, you know, spinach and you're going to have to learn, you know, how to prepare the food. If you're not accustomed to that, you're going to have to just resolve to change your whole lifestyle, because it's not something you're going to do for a week or two. It's something that you're going to have to commit to changing your lifestyle. If you've had some bad habits that got you into this trap, you're going to have to, you know, decide that you're coming out of this trap and you're not going to, you know, choose the way of destruction to your flesh, not to your body, not to your soul, and not to your spirit. And so exercise is really important too. And so many people underestimate the value of exercise. And okay, so what does that mean? You have to sign up at the gym and spend a lot of money? No. Commit to a walk every day. You and your wife can be walking partners. You can start by a 20-minute walk together every day, you know. And then as you, you know, see that you're able to do that and you're enjoying that, you know, then you might increase it to 30 minutes a day. And, you know, if it gets cold outside and you don't know what to do, invest in a stationary bicycle. You know, go to a yard sale or go to a thrift store and get a stationary bicycle and do 20 minutes a day on the bicycle. But our hearts are meant to work, and we're not meant to sit all day. And exercise really helps to regulate blood sugar levels as well. And it's good for overall health and, you know, well-being and morale and everything. So I just encourage you for that. And also drinking lots of water. Good quality water is important. And not with meals, but in between meals. And anyways, that's what I wanted to share. So if you commit yourselves to the change, you will see great improvements, and you can both be delivered from medication, from insulin, and it just takes your will to be engaged, and you'll see tremendous change. You could be completely set free from that sickness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
God bless you.
Thanks, Angie. Mm-hmm. Bless you.
I got a question.
Okay.
Can I use Fatback with my beans?
Okay.
You beat them.
Half the people here probably don't even know what Fatback is, Michael.
Okay.
Orange is great.
All right. I'm just wondering.
Okay.
You beat them.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good point, because when it brought up exercise,
Go ahead.
What's that?
I'm sorry. It's interesting that we're talking about this, because David asked me this afternoon. He said, "You ever seen Ray Taylor's testimony?" I said, "Well, I don't guess I have." He said, "Well," he said, "he was a diabetic, but he could eat anything because he was blessing his food." And it's on the site. It's really a good testimony. And what happened? He never did start eating right, and he died. You know, that's, not that was a bad thing for him, because he went to heaven, but he was still eating wrong and blessing his food, thinking that was doing it. That's, you know, you've got to get in line with what the Word of God says. We have to, like Angie and Michael was talking about, you have to eat right. Amen. He was drinking a lot of soda pops. Drinking just soda pop, you know, a lot of them. And there's a nerve somewhere, a nerve or something around your heart that caffeine goes to. It's caffeine. And I don't remember what the name of it is, but it'll go to it and it'll stop it. And that's what hurts a lot of people, is the caffeine. Caffeine's just about everything, all the junk food.
Go ahead, Angie.
Oh, hi. Can I make a comment? This is Diane.
Oh, it's Diane. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, Diane.
Sorry. Sweet leaf stevia is a great sweetener. It's a natural sweetener. Sweet leaf has a better taste. It has many flavors. If you're going to drink iced tea, drink decaf. caffeine does jump the blood sugars. Another thing is for a sweetener that is zero glycemic index and zero calories is from the monk fruit. It's a natural sweetener. It's called monk fruit sweetener. And it's by Lakanto, Lakanto, L-A-K-A-N-T-O. And
okay.
But it's zero glycemic index, and it's natural because it's from the monk fruit. And I think the person you were talking about that you said that you all were watching, I think that's Gabriel Cousins that had the program that showed that he took in a handful of people and he taught them how to eat, taught them how to eat raw food, and all of them turned their diabetes around because diabetes is not a disease. Everyone wants to think it is. Doctors will tell you it is, but it isn't. It's something that can be turned around, but it's from eating properly. Our food pyramid is completely upside down as far as the AMA goes. It's totally wrong. But that's what, you know, people have to look that up to figure that out for themselves. It's just, it's food pyramid is terrible the way the AMA has it. But anyhow, I just wanted to let you know about the monk fruit and the sweet leaf stevia because that's good alternatives and they're natural. And that helps give you a break so you don't have to use sugar and just use decaf tea. So you don't jump your insulin.
Well, I can tell you from experience that the quickest way to get out from under diabetes is to be prayed for. I've seen it happen time and time again. But what happens is people won't start eating right after they're prayed for. They can get off of their insulin. They'll stay off their insulin. But they don't. They quit. They quit. They keep on eating like they were before, and you can't do that. God's not going to honor that. He wants you to get back in line with, like Diane was talking about, and Angie was, and Michael was talking about, to get back in line with what it is to eat right. And that's the main thing right there is maintaining. Once you get prayed for, and that diabetes is going to leave you, because God says it will. Then you have to maintain that healing. And if you open the door with gluttony or eating the wrong types of food, then it'll come back on you. We've seen that happen as well. So it's a maintenance issue as well as a faith issue. Just
may I speak one more thing, Tim?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say, I recommend, there's a sister on the internet on YouTube called Barbara O'Neill, and she has a wellness center in Australia, and it's the finest teaching I've ever seen on how the body works, how the systems work, the best way to God prepared, and she's a believer in the Lord, and how to care for our bodies in a proper way, and it's just amazing. I mean, I've never seen such clear understanding. It made me change a lot of issues in my bad habits that I had with my body, and I just recommend it highly. And her name's Barbara O'Neill on YouTube. You can listen to different of her seminars. Really incredible about the understanding of the human body and how to take care of the temple of God.
So the way to access those seminars for anybody who's interested is they just go to the internet and just type in Barbara O'Neill, so Barbara and then O'Neill, Barbara O'Neill, Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, and just YouTube. So Barbara O'Neill, Health, YouTube. And then you'll see a bunch of seminars come up, options for seminars on health. And if there's something of interest there, you'll be blessed that you tuned in because she's a naturopathic doctor, and she has a lot of knowledge, but she really explains it in layman's terms so all of us can understand. And Michael and I have both learned a lot, and she's been very helpful to us as well.
Awesome. So Wade and Jeanette, Barbara O'Neill, got to get educated as far as on how the body works and what's good and what's bad. So, hey, Michael, here, why don't you pray for Wade and Jeanette, and then they can start getting knowledge and, you know, get into obedience.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for all of this good information you're laying across our laps, Lord. Not only for Wade and Jeanette, but for me too. I'm going to go to that Barbara O'Neill site and see if they've got anything in there that interests me, Father. And we believe that this is an ordained thing here tonight, because there is a lot of misuse of our bodies by eating. And Lord, I thank you for that. And you have given us the wisdom, Lord, to do what's right. And we thank you for that. And you've also given us that mustard seed of faith to believe what your word says, Lord. And your word says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I come against that spirit of diabetes on Wade and Jeanette right now in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be loose from their body now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and cast you off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And I command everything that the enemy has stolen from them to be restored as new in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for putting it in their hearts to, from this point on, Lord, maintaining that healing in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to do that, and you're going to place it in their hearts to want to do what you've asked them to do, and us too, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that anybody else that's listening, Father, that you're going to place it in their hearts to start eating right, quit using these processed foods that are such a that has such a devastating effect on our bodies. And Father, we thank you that from this point on, we're going to eat what you've made for us. And that's all the fruit and the seeds, you said. We can eat the fruit and the seeds of the fruit. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I'm just amen with you.
Amen. That's a done deal, Wade and Jeanette. Y'all are healed. Anybody else is listening, too.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Malcolm.
Can you hear me okay? I'm on a headset. No,
yeah, you sound really good. Just don't move.
This headset is known for getting muted. Anyway, the past few years I've hobnobbed with some folks who, I mean, they wouldn't say this, but, you know, have righteousness by diet, or salvation by diet. But but anyway, after I realized that what Scripture teaches on this, I tended to go the other way, which is be a little more liberal in my diet. But Paul, you know, as you know, Paul talks about this at length, and he says, but I will not be brought, you know, after saying that we can eat all these things, he says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So I think that's kind of a major thing, is that we're not under the control of our appetite. We control our appetite. We don't allow our appetite to control us.
Amen. That's a good thing. And I've noticed too is I think exercise. I got a load of gravel the other day, and I live on a hill, and the guy delivering the gravel started at the top of the hill, and he kind of ran down the hill with the gravel coming out, and then I realized I had to go pay him, so I had to walk down the hill and go pay him, and then I walked back up the hill, and when I got back to the house, I was like so winded, and I was like, man, I can't believe this, but it's just, I realized that I really, I'm not getting the exercise that I usually get, you know, and early on, actually it was a seminar with different people speaking, and somebody got up there, and they started, you know, listing these things that are in foods, these chemicals and additives and all these things, and he was listing all these long names that we see on the back of stuff, and then he was explaining what that was, and, you know, he would call out this name. He says, well, that's actually a byproduct of the cheese industry, and they were dumping it into the rivers and it was killing the fish, so they EPA shut them down, so they, you know, had to do something with it. So they remanufactured it, and they're feeding it to us. And then he'd list off something else and say, well, that's a byproduct of making turpentine, and they use it as an almond flavoring. And he was just giving us all these byproducts that are coming off of, you know, the petroleum industry and all this that they're, you know, manufacturing into food additives. And it was like, and I'm thinking, what the heck am I eating? You know, so I started to like look at, you know, some of these ingredients, and it got to the point if I couldn't pronounce it, I wasn't going to eat it, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy what's in all this processed food to keep it, you know, looking good and tasting good and all that. So, but amen.
Wade, Tim, Jeanette, do you mind if I tell a story here?
Sure.
My dad used to teach health classes and stop smoking clinics and all that kind of stuff. I think one of the stories he told was about a guy that he was really depressed. And he decided he was going to commit suicide. And he went up to the fireplace in his living room and just stood there, and he was just thinking, you know, life is just not worth living. I'm just going to kill myself. So he was overweight and knew that he was close to a heart attack. So he thought, you know, this is a novel way to die. I think I'll just go run until I have a heart attack, and then I'll die. Then it'll be all over. So he went out, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and he kept running. Surprised he wasn't dying yet, so he just kept running. And then he finally got back to the same living room, and he felt so good. And then he thought, now what was I depressed about? And I was going to commit suicide, but I can't remember why. He just felt so happy. And,
and that's a true story?
Yeah, it's a true story. But, you know, that, I think there's some basic principles there that in addition to the principles of the gospel, and of course the principles of the gospel are, you know, above and, we can't go beyond the gospel. We don't want to ever preach another gospel, anything other than what was revealed to Paul and the others. Through revelation of Jesus Christ directly, but there are principles too, you know, just basic health principles, basic just the way our bodies function. So it's not harmful to learn how your body works, and you know, it's not harmful to feed it stuff that makes it work properly. But it doesn't. You can't get to heaven by eating broccoli the rest of your life. That's
yeah,
this.
It's an amazing thing that the Seventh-day Adventists, who I wouldn't consider them spiritual people, but they live 10 years longer than any other religious group, and it's not because of their spirituality. It's just that they take care of their bodies. And one brother says to this other brother, he says, brother, you think you can get to heaven and eat pork? He said, brother, I think you get there faster. Sometimes that's the case, and one brother, I know a brother that came up to this brother that was ministering, and he walked up and he says, brother, you're a thief, and he walked away from the guy, and the guy's standing there going, what was that all about, you know, and he walked up to him a second time and said, you're a thief, and he walked away from him, and the guy finally said, what are you calling me a thief for? He said, well, brother, you weigh 300 pounds. And you're robbing the body of Christ from the gift of God that's within you because you won't take care of the temple of God.
Wow.
Oh, that's powerful.
That's pretty straightforward. Amen.
Hey, Malcolm.
Yeah, I found my mute button. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I thought you was going to talk about Forrest Gump there for a minute when you took off on this running episode. You remember that part?
Oh, my, yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't admit to watching such a terrible movie, but anyway. At least not on the air.
All right.
I do love ping pong.
Yeah. Hey, Malcolm, I did hear a story of a man who was, they told him, you're going to die. You got cancer and you're going to die. And he just decided, well, if I'm going to die, I might as well go enjoy myself. So he went down to Mexico, sat on a beach, and swam in the ocean and just ate papayas and fruit. Next thing you know, he was all better.
Amen.
Let me say, I'm a little super sensitive about this, maybe because of my background, but I think it's really important not to get on. I think health principles are really important, but they can't let them supersede the gospel and the freedom we have in Christ. And Paul is very adamant about that the gospel not be tainted in any way. And my background is such that the gospel was, you know, I mean, I've been reading Galatians the last few days, and I've been studying it from some different, kind of the Greek and some other things. And but one thing in all the study part, I was just, this morning, I was reading through the first part of Galatians, the first couple chapters, and there's a cry, you know, from Paul's heart, but I think also from the heart of God. It's probably one of, I don't know, to my mind, it's one of the most emotional epistles. It's very, you know, and Paul is addressing this dilution of the gospel issue, and I'd hate to see diet or any other thing that we do mess with the gospel. If you're not, I don't know if you know what I'm coming, where I'm coming from here, but it's so easy for people to allow diet, to allow doing all kinds of good things, to somehow sneak in subconsciously, and just starts. It's just our tendency, and you know, I'm aware of some religions and denominations that were designed specifically by the Masons in order to dilute or mess with the gospel just enough so a person, once they get into that situation, is not even qualified for salvation. So this is a really serious issue to me. I'm a little bit overwhelmed by... Yeah, go ahead.
Malcolm, what can you share in a nutshell the background where you're coming from to help us all? That would just be really cool.
You know, on the conference call, I've never given my denominational background. I know a lot of you know that already. So,
hey, let me say something here just a minute. As far as that goes, Malcolm, you're right. I mean, if you're out there and you're starving, and you've been with this principle all your life, and it's been something that you've used, and the only thing you got to eat is a Twinkie. I'm telling you what, I'm going to unwrap that Twinkie and I'm going to down that bad boy if I'm hungry. But in our day-to-day life, as we're work, everything is in moderation, right? Everything is in moderation. If you don't have access to all of these things that we're talking about tonight, then utilize what you have, but utilize it in moderation. I think the biggest key issue in the whole thing is moderation. Getting off of the eating too much and knowing, like Tim said earlier, knowing what's good and what's bad, and going ahead and eating it anyway. And I think we all know that what's good and what's not bad, typically. And we have access to those types of food. And not make a law out of it so much as just you want to feel better, for goodness sake. And if you want to feel better, you got to eat right. And it's not something that you have to sit down and make a list of everything that you need to eat every day, but just eat moderately and eat the right things and you'll be fine. I don't think you'd have to go in there and make a list of recipes for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You don't have to do that. I don't think. Now, somebody else might correct me. I don't do it and I've got great health. But I try to eat as, like Michael and Angie were talking about, I try to eat good things, but I do like my Cajun sausage, you know, cooked with the good things as well. So, you know, it's just a matter of doing it in moderation, in my opinion.
Amen. I agree, Brother Michael. And I also want to say, you know, Malcolm, I know where you're coming from because I've been around those people who, you know, they will condemn you if you're eating meat. They will condemn you if, you know, you're not observing this, that, or the other thing. They are so steeped in the law. It is so full of religion. It is so smothering and condemning. But as Brother Michael was just sharing...
I'm sorry, is this Trish talking or is this Angelica?
No, it's Angie. Yeah, it's Angelica.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, as Brother Michael was saying, you know, I think he brought it back to perspective and balance and to the original question of the people, you know, who have that concern that we're trying to encourage and direct through this.
So, Angelica, did my answer... I don't want to be cagey, but I don't want to be too explicit. Is my answer okay with you right now? I mean, you could ask Mike one of these, maybe.
Actually, that was me. That was Trish, not Angie, that asked that. And it's fine. And the only reason I asked you that, Malcolm, was because when Tim and I came into the kingdom, somehow we got caught in legalism with organic and foods and just under the law. And then God delivers us out of that. And moderation is our motto, you know. So,
well, hey, you know, David and Mary went through the same thing too. They got into that health food kick early on in their ministry, and they had to be delivered of that as well. So, you know, it's something that happens at times, but we need to be cautious, you know, how we eat and what we eat and how much we eat, actually.
Yeah, and if I can get, as Andrew and Michael were sharing, I mean, that's how we like to live our lives, and that's how we like to eat. And we just bless everything, and we'll eat whatever is available. If we're invited somewhere, it's not maybe not what we would eat, but we'll bless it, and we'll eat it, you know. And so we're just not freaked out by it anymore or putting ourselves under the law. And I know that's what Angie and Michael are talking about too. And so I just didn't know, Malcolm. I didn't know you came up out of a situation that kept you under the law. And that's all. I was just kind of curious. You don't need to explain it. I was just wondering, wow, you had a background that really slammed you around. So I just didn't know that. That's all. That's where I was coming from.
Yeah, right. Trish, I have seen people into the most incredible bondage, and it's like being, I'm around some folks that are just chock full of demons, and they're under such bondage. Some of you know a little bit what I'm talking about, but it's just, but this diet thing can be the most horrendous. If you've been through it, I think you know what I'm talking about, but it's so wrong. It's so wrong. This whole bondage thing, it's like Satan will find whatever he can convince you of to turn you away from the real gospel and say, well, no, you can, if you do this, you know, maybe it's not part of the law or anything, but if you do this, it'll please God more than if you do this. So you want to please God, right? So if you eat this way, you see what I'm saying? I mean, then it starts turning into your minds, well, God isn't going to bless me if I eat this. And so, and pretty soon you get to the point where it's like, you know, you're starting to get afraid of what you can eat, what you can't eat.
Yeah, it's bondage. Yeah, that's serious bondage for sure. Amen. We're set free, right? Amen.
Well, that's why the Lord told us to be weak to the weak. Just like you said, if you go down and sit, and like Trish was talking about, if you go down and sit with your neighbor and he serves you meat and potatoes and gravy, you know, you're going to sit down and you're going to eat. You're not going to act like, well, I can't have this. You know, I got to have this or this or that and this. No, you just sit down. You be weak to the weak because you're exuberating. You're showing them the light of Christ. And Trish is right. Yeah. It's one of those type of deals. Go ahead, Michael.
I think the thing with all of this is we're not talking about, you know, religious bondage where we're doing what we do to please God. We're talking about quality of life and living healthy and not have to deal with this. And I know the difference in my own life when I take care of my body, just like with my truck. I take care of my truck. I don't run ethanol gasoline in it. I run non-ethanol gas. I run synthetic oil in it. And I get better life out of it. It just works better. And I use Tecron to clean out the fuel injectors. And I use these certain things that I found that make it efficient. And I don't have to fix it very often. And I have friends that are sick all the time. And part of it is spiritual. And part of it is, man, I wouldn't do what they do to their bodies. But it's not a matter of whether you're received by God. It's a matter of quality of life, I believe, with all my heart. And where you guys, most of you live out there, you have the land of the eternal garden. I'm amazed that you don't have beautiful gardens everywhere. Right here, every ounce of sunshine is spoken for twice. We don't get much of it. But out there where you guys live, you can grow gardens by the bunch. You know, it was an easy way to have decent and good food. But some of the simplest things, like just drinking lots of water, getting lots of sunshine, getting exercise, and don't eat margarine of all things, because that'll kill you fast. And if you just take care of the oils and olive oils and decent oils and stuff, some of those basic things make a world of difference in a person's life. But a lot of it is just people don't know, and they do things that are. And I've watched it. I mean, I'm watching people that are not spiritual at all. They don't even believe in the Lord. But they take care of their bodies, and they don't have the issues. When you got somebody that's 300 pounds, they got a problem. And it may not be spiritual, but they're definitely doing something wrong. And we're responsible to take care of this temple that God's given us, but it's not an issue of spirituality. It's an issue of efficiency and being able to take and use these vessels and get as much life out of them as we can.
You know, I agree. And you know what, Malcolm, the other thing is my kids, you know, they grew up on, for a long time, there was no sugar allowed in the house. So it was, when they got older, it was kind of neat because when they kind of went on the splurge, I would just look at them and say, if you're up all night, I don't want to talk about it. And they're kind of neat. It's kind of neat because my one son that's married, his wife grew up in a household that just ate whatever. But they're now coming to a place because they taste, he goes, Mom, there's such a difference in the taste. It doesn't even taste good because he grew up on good olive oils and butter and things like that. And it's kind of neat. I mean, on another end, I know that we need to, I agree with what Michael and Andrew are saying. I mean, you just feel better when you eat right and you don't eat a lot of that stuff. You don't eat a lot of processed sugar foods. But at the same time, it does taste better. It just really does taste better sometimes. Some things do when you get used to eating pure and fresh. So that's just another thought.
Yeah, I have some friends that really recommend coconut oil, and you know we use olive oil, but I really would recommend trying AMS oil.
What did you say?
Your car, anyway.
How did you do that? Hey, Tim.
Well, it's
Well, look, Joe and Nora are showing up, and Trish is showing up.
Yeah. By the way, one thing that is of interest, margarine is only one molecule different than plastic. It's one molecule different than plastic.
It's edible plastic.
Wow.
Trish, let me give my background a little bit. I mean, where I'm kind of at.
Oh, all right. One more thing. When I cook my own muffins and I make my own stuff, the weight rolls right off of me. When I buy food, it just doesn't. It's the processed stuff. It just, like, the plastic, it just, like, clicks. It just hangs on for life. But when you start eating natural, that's your weight will just fall off. It's just God designed it that way. It's really awesome. So, yeah, Malcolm, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that as a kid, because I grew up the way I did, I used to be vegetarian, then later in life became I ended up with cancer years ago, and then it was surgically removed, and then there was no trace of it left. But then I started going pretty strict vegan. We used to juice a lot, juice carrots and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, it's great because it's really cool on your body. But my habit patterns, there are reasons why I don't like cow's milk. Part of it was I grew up in Nepal with water buffalo milk, which is pretty strong. And if you use a milk that's really strong like that, strong flavor, and then try to go to cow's milk, it tastes like it's so bland. And the other thing we had in Nepal was yak's milk, which is a different flavor. It was lighter than water buffalo milk, but I really don't like cow's milk. And then the other thing was with eggs. I used to cook with eggs and whatnot, but being in Nepal, the chickens there would eat human feces for breakfast, and the egg yolks were this anemic yellow. And I kind of correlated the diet and the yellow and the very anemic light yellow egg yolks, and it just grossed me out. So I still have a hard time with eggs. But But because of my background, I'm still basically vegan. But you know, as I started studying the New Testament more a few years ago, I came under conviction that, you know, all things are, you know, I could eat anything and not, you know, it'd be fine. I mean, not health wise necessarily, but you know, it was cool. So it got tested when I went down to some refugees from Bhutan down in Spokane. There were some refugees there that spoke Nepali, and I remembered a little Nepali, so I was kind of hobnobbing with them, and I'd tell jokes and sing songs and stuff that they knew and crack them up and all this stuff. But part of all that was they would invite me to come eat with them. So right off the bat, that got tested because I didn't even ask what they were serving like I used to do when I was in Nepal. And I just ate what they served me. And the Bhutanese, a lot of the Nepalis from Bhutan that were refugees, they were a lot looser with their restrictions on meat. The Hindus in Nepal where I was were they wouldn't eat pork. They consider it dirty, and some other unclean meats, you know, listed in Leviticus, they wouldn't eat. But I'm sorry about my headset here. I'll try to stop moving. But these guys, the first thing, you know, I ate at somebody's house, and then in the process of eating, I asked them, you know, what it was, and they said, well, it's pork. So I thought, okay, I'm cool here. I didn't vomit or anything, you know, but it was grossing me out a little bit. The next place I ate, and I was eating whatever it was, and then I asked them what it was, and they said it was catfish, which is another unclean meat. And I didn't have one pinch of guilt or anything. I thought, this is cool, except the food was grossing me out, and the thought of it was grossing me out. But I think it depends on your background, but, you know, I'm not stuck to that background. It's just a matter of preference, you know, and I think we can all have preferences. So, anyway, it's kind of that's kind of the story of my going into freedom there. Even though I still would go back to the diet that I would prefer.
All right.
Amen, Malcolm. We're all dying to flesh, aren't we?
Yeah, that was part of it. Dying to flesh while you eat it.
Well, you were being weak to the weak, weren't you, bud?
Yeah, my stomach was weak.
Boy, I had me a couple of big old catfish fillets today.
And they were good.
They were good.
I think it's good if we read all of this at times, Romans 14, just to keep perspective with the meat-drink issues with the brethren.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I like what Paul says, is I will eat no meat if it will cause somebody to stumble. That's cool. I like that. And I need to remember that in the circles I'm in.
And I was going to say, when we came out of the bondage to food, our boys, I don't know what age they were, probably, you know, 8, 10 years old or something, and we'd never really eaten fast food. You know, if we ate out, it would be at Panera Bread or something, and we get salads, and, you know, so we never ate fast food. They never ate fast food. And one day we came out from under the law and came out from under the bondage, and I decided that I was going to take them to McDonald's. This is going to be a big treat, their first time at McDonald's. And they're like, I don't even know how old they were, 8, 10 years old. And I took them there, and I got them a burger and fries and a Coke, and they were like, Dad, this is terrible. How could you eat this stuff? And I was like, you're kids. What do you mean? You don't like McDonald's? And, I mean, they would not go back to McDonald's. I mean, they just thought it was the most horrific thing they'd ever eaten in their life, you know? And it was pretty surprising. But even today, I mean, if anything but McDonald's, Dad, it's kind of cool. It just took the McDonald's right out of their vocabulary. So, amen. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on the matter, anything to share?
This is Dr. Wolfskill.
Okay, Doc.
Hey, I recommend Ezekiel bread. Have you ever tried that? Ezekiel bread, it's the recipes in the Bible. Okay, then we have one lemon and a quart of water every day, for sure, at least one quart. Now I've got my beverage, my alkaline level will probably raise, and I've had my fruit today already. How about that? That's it.
All right.
I wish I could just live on that, and life would be so much easier.
All right. That's good. Okay, anybody else?
Done with Joe, yeah?
Hey, Joe.
Well, I just for interest's sake, what's that water buffalo milk? What does it taste like?
Hey, Malcolm.
Like something new?
Joe wants to know what water buffalo milk tastes like.
I'm way out here stacking wood quite a ways. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah, okay. Water buffalo milk is the fat is a very high saturated fat, and or the percentage of saturated fat is very high. I'm not sure how that works, but with cow's milk, you can use an egg beater to make whipped cream out of the cream, but with water buffalo milk, you're going to make whipped cream and you make butter almost instantly. I mean, there's no halfway point. And when you go to make ice cream that's churned in an ice cream thing, the cream turns into butter. So when you take a metal spoon and you're eating your ice cream, and you end up with a spoon that's coated with this white grease. It's quite the experience. It's good, but, you know, it's like eating butter in your ice cream. But it's the taste is very, very strong. I don't know how to describe the taste. Yak milk is also strong, but it's a different, I'd say probably a little more pleasing. So, anyway, cow's milk is very, very, very nothing. I guess I didn't answer your question because I can't, it's hard to.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain how something tastes. You know, it's like, you know, how does a banana
durian,
taste there, Malcolm?
Well, durian, which is a fruit found in a lot of Asian countries, you know, Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand. And anyway, durian is easy to describe. It's like eating rotten onions and rotten eggs over the Singapore River or over a London sewer or, you know, something like that. That's easy to describe, but buffalo milk's a little different.
Okay. So why would they want to eat fruit that tastes like a sewer?
Well, I think it's addictive. It's very, very good.
Okay.
The first time I found out how addictive it is I'd resisted it for a couple of years when I was in Singapore, and one day I paid my 10 cents to fare on the bus. I got on the bus, got a ticket, you know, student fares back then were 10 cents Singapore, which is like 3 cents U.S. And so I just gotten on the bus, spent my big bucks, and no sooner had I gotten on, but a couple blocks down the road, I smelled the smell, and I knew it was durian, and I was so addicted at that point, I had to get off the bus and walk down the side street until I found that durian cart and buy some. So, but you can smell it a long ways away. But
it smells bad but tastes good. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it smells great once you get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think either eating or tasting is pretty ugly if you're, I don't know. It's like, it's very controversial, but some people insist that durian will be on the tree of life, one of those fruits.
Well, meanwhile, the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I think we rode that horse long enough, man.
Amen.
Michael, I agree. Okay, I've got to go back to muting because I got to stack wood here.
So, Michael Montana, do you have something to share on the kingdom?
Oh, no, I'll wait on that, brother, for a bit. Let somebody else share. I talk too much.
Okay. All right, does anybody else have any revelation, any testimonies, anything like that to bring forth?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Jackie.
May I ask a question if one of you brothers could explain when we're talking of the food and the exercise and walking? I've been actually corrected by a couple different brothers in my walk about that. And I just want to make sure that I understand it right. I was exhorted for the verse in 1 Timothy 4, 8, I think, about the bodily exercise. And I enjoy walking. I walk my dog, not every day, but I try to often, and he enjoys it. And most of the time, I just pray and commune with our Lord while I'm walking. But I just want to make sure I'm just correct, I guess, in what I'm doing, because I was shown this verse, like I said previously, by a brother about, you know, that... And also, I was exhorted by a sister, you know, that it profits nothing, you know, and that that perhaps maybe I was wrong in doing so. Am I explaining myself okay?
Go ahead, Michael.
I just was going to say, you know, sister, you can't come under somebody else's bondage either, you know, where everybody has their own value system. That's why I look in the scripture. In Romans 14, when he says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one man believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. Let him that eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. And who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, and he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. He that regardeth the day, to the Lord does he regard it. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord does he not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord and giveth God thanks. For none of us live unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Whether we live, therefore, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, therefore, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." And the whole thing I get from that is that, you know, we need to quit judging each other over issues that are not issues. And you need to walk before God with a conscience before God, not before men. Don't let people bring you under religious bondages one way or another. You've got to walk with a clear conscience before God. And I wouldn't let anybody lay their bondages on you, you know. And I'm not talking about, it says in the scripture, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. It's not that anything is In fact, Paul says, I am known and persuaded of myself that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to a man that esteemeth a thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And so it's, if you're going to do something, do it in faith and do it before God. And I mean, unless it's going to stumble your brother or cause offense, like, you know, drinking wine or doing something that's going to stumble a brother, that's a different deal. But Romans 14 is a wonderful balance, as for and then into Romans 15. But don't let anybody lay trip on you and things that are not issues before God. Whether you walk, whether you that's no issue. You do that before God. But don't let anybody bring you under bondage, and walk in faith. And whatever you do, do it in faith, because anything you do, two people can do the exact same thing, and one of them be in sin and one be in blessing. It's an issue of faith. If you're doing it before God in faith, then rejoice and sing a song.
Amen. Amen. That was good. That helped. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, that
ditto.
Was well said.
Ditto. Yes,
that was,
sir.
Amen. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, man wants to bring you under the law. And you got to be led of the Lord, not of man. And you know, so that's good. Good, Michael. That was awesome.
That was awesome. I mean, I really, I didn't feel anything wrong in doing it. But like I said, I was, I guess corrected a few times, and then it kind of made me think, you know, well, am I doing something wrong, Lord? You know, And then I would feel, you know, guilty as if I was sinning, and then I would go back, you know, to my normal ways again. But just couple different brethren had said a couple different things, and I just wanted to make sure, because it was contrary to what was spoken tonight, and I just, for my own walk, wanted to make sure I knew where I stood. So thank you for allowing me to ask that, and thank you for explaining it.
Amen. All right, anybody else have a question there?
I got a funny story.
Okay.
y'all, most of you know that David and I live together, and he every now and then we'll be out in the woods walking around, and he'll grab something, stick it in his mouth, and I'll watch him. And then he'll grab something else, and he'll stick it in the mouth. I said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm seeing if it tastes good. It's good." He said, "I've heard it's good." I said, "I'm going to try it and see." I said, "What happened if you get a hold of something that's poison?" He said, "Well, if I feel my gums starting to get numb, I'll spit it out." I said, "Well, that's a good sign, I guess." If the whole side of his face starts sagging, he'll spit it out, I guess. I don't know. But David will. He'll go out there and he'll put a dandelion flower in his mouth and start chewing on it and just all kinds of stuff. One day, he got me on some That was broccoli. Broccoli leaves.
Did he get you on kudzu too, though, Michael?
No, he didn't do me on that. I know what the kudzu is. I didn't. I wasn't about to do that. But one day I was in there, and he started chewing on that broccoli leaf. And he said, "Man, this is good." And he was acting like it was good, you know. And he said, "You ought to try this." He said, "It's good. We could probably use this in a dish that you make at there." I said, "Okay, David, I'll try it this time." And I'm telling you what, I bit into that thing, and that was the nastiest tasting leaf I ever put in my mouth. I'm telling you, I spit for 10 minutes, and I told him, I said, "David Hills, I'll never believe you again. Something like that's going to taste good." So I'm real cautious around him when he tells me something tastes good, because things taste good to him don't taste good to me.
All right. Anybody else?
So, Miss Joe, yeah?
Hey, Joe.
Is it possibly for you to explain me a bit about Ezekiel 50, verse 22 to 26, if you don't mind? We can read that.
You said Ezekiel 50?
Yeah, 50, 30, 30.
Oh, 30, and what is it?
Verse 22 to 26.
22 to 26.
Yeah, so they're talking about the type of Egypt. I don't know, find out the type of Egypt and the type of Babylon, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Sorry if I put you on the spot now. Just for I was reading.
Yeah, you put me on the spot. I'm trying to get my Bible and find it here. Well, I'll read it, and if anybody's got anything to add, so we're saying 30, 22 through 26.
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arms, the strong arm, and that which was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arm of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand. But I will break the arm of Pharaoh, and he shall groan before him with the groaning of a deadly wounded man. And I will hold up the arm of the king of Babylon, and the arms of the Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them through the countries, as they shall know that I am the Lord. All right, I don't know the full context of this. I don't know if Michael Montan or Michael Hare, do you guys have any?
I'll make a comment, a couple of comments on that. First of all, one thing that is an understood principle in dealing with the Lord's dealings with nations is he will use one nation to deal with another. He said concerning Israel, he said, the Assyrians are a rod in my hand. The Chaldeans, I've ordained them for correction. He said, submit yourself to my servant Nebuchadnezzar. I have sent him. And another place it says, and the Lord strengthened the hand of the Midianites against Israel. And he'll use wicked nations to deal with, and you can see it in Amos and in Micah, where he's talking about all these nations that he's dealing with, and judging Tyre the different Edomites and the different ones, different groups of people. But I remember also that when Nebuchadnezzar was coming against Israel in Jeremiah's time, and Jeremiah said, by the word of the Lord, don't flee to Egypt, because if you flee to Egypt, the sword which you feared is going to devour you there, and the famine of which you're afraid is going to overtake you there, and there you'll die. But submit yourself to my servant Nebuchadnezzar. I've sent him. And the Lord, the ones that submitted themselves to them went and prospered, built houses and planted vineyards and prospered in Babylon for the 70 years of captivity. But those that fled into Egypt, then God raised up the Babylonians to overthrow Egypt. And that's exactly what he's prophesying there about the Egyptians were going to be overthrown by Babylon. And then God overthrew Babylon and brought Cyrus and brought the judgments to Nebuchadnezzar's son. And he'll deal with nations, lift up one, put down another. But if anyone that exalts themselves is going to get abased. But I think the lesson we need to learn, even in America, is God is going to use wicked nations. Is Russia righteous? Russia's not righteous. Is Islam righteous? Absolutely evil. But God will use them to bring judgment on his own people and judgment on a land, and then turn around and judge the one that judged them. I mean, all of these nations, he says, I'm going to plead with the nations. It says in Jeremiah 25 that God is going to plead with all the nations and give them that are wicked to the sword. But I believe with all my heart that in that particular context, he's speaking of the fact that God was going to raise up to bring down the arrogance of Egypt. He was going to raise up the Babylonians to do it. And then he turned around.
Hey, Michael, we just lost your audio.
Are you not hearing?
Oh, now we are. We lost you for a minute there.
Oh. Well, anyway, I believe that God is making a point that he deals with nations, and he will lift up one and put down another, and every nation that forgets God shall be brought down to hell. And it was what he was prophesying there, I believe, was what happened in Jeremiah's prophecy, that God was going to use the Chaldeans and the Babylonians to shake down Egypt and to judge the Pharaoh and the arrogance of Pharaoh, and which he did. And those Israeli people that fled to Egypt to try to escape the sword in their own strength, they got overtaken there when the Babylonians came, and the very sword they tried to fear came upon them, and they died there.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's just like us. If we're in disobedience and, you know, we need a chastening, I mean, he can use a vessel of dishonor that to use to chasten us. And it's just a tool to him. And after the chastening, he may bring a chastening to that person. Who knows? But, he'll use whatever tool he has to bring a chastening. Amen?
Yeah, and after he does that, he'll take care of the people that did the chastening.
That's true. Did that answer your question there, Joe?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Michael. So, all right, anybody else? Well, I've got something I can share. Last week I kind of I talked about walking in, God's love. And last few days I kind of did a study on walking in the light. And I'll kind of get into this. It might be a little bit more than the time we have, but I'll start in this. And so just fasten your seatbelts, put your tray tables and your seats in the upright position. And it could get a little bumpy, but I'll try to bring us in for a landing here. If not, your seat cushions can be used as a flotation device. That's my forewarning. So 1 John 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, that which we heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that's which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare unto you the life, the eternal, which was the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declared we unto you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I was seeing that that they have shared their testimonies of, everything that they've seen and heard and witnessed, concerning the word of life. And he says that you may have fellowship with us in life eternal, one with another, along with the Father and his Son. And that is the fellowship of life in the body. And he goes on to say, and these things we write, that our joy may be made full. And this is the message which we have heard from him, which is Jesus, and announced unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And Timothy 6:16 says, he's talking about God who only hath immortality and dwelling in light. So it says that, God resides in the light, and if you dwell in the light, there can be no darkness. And he's saying immortality is life eternal. So the fellowship of life is dwelling with God in the light.
And it goes on in 1 John 1, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we are hearers of the word of life, but not doers. We're kind of like false witnesses if we say and we don't walk. But it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So walking is being a doer. Walking as he is in the light is being a witness. The results are that we enter into fellowship of life one with another, and that fellowship is in the light. And once we are fellowshipping in the light, it says, it continues, says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we are in the communion with one another, sharing in common, having communications one with another, which includes the Father and the Son, Jesus, we are fellowshipping in the life unto eternal life. But we may be fellowshipping with our Father and with Jesus and not necessarily fellowshipping with the body, because we may not necessarily like everyone around us. You know, we are fellowshipping, you know, when we do that, we're not necessarily fellowshipping in the light. Because we may be walking in darkness of our thoughts. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we are considered a liar and not a doer of the truth. 1 John 2 and 9 says, he that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. And that hate is a pretty strong term, but it's the opposite of love. And, you know, God dwells in the light. God dwells in love. So, you know, he brings out that hate. And it's 1 John 4 and 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. In 1 John 4 and 16, it says, we know that we have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abides in the love abides in God, and God abides in him. So I was seeing that many say they have fellowship, many say they walk in the light, but many have a form of hatred in their hearts. And that is the darkness of criticism and judgment for their brothers or sisters. They say they are fellowshipping with them, but they're actually walking in the darkness of unforgiveness and have not the word of life in them. They are not walking in the light. They do not have fellowship one with another, so the blood of Jesus does not cleanse them from their sins. He goes on to say in 10, it says, he that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whither he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So I was seeing that hatred and criticism and judgment have blinded their eyes, and they do not know where they're going. And this is a spiritual blindness. There is no light in the spirit to guide them. This is walking in spiritual darkness. They have stumbled and have dropped the light, and now they are in darkness, having lost direction and do not know where they're going. They think they know where they're going, and they think they know where they'll end up, but they are spiritually lost and blinded, and do not know it. The unforgiveness is really just in their thoughts, and they are not really judging or criticizing their brother or sister. They're actually criticizing the Lord in their mind. One of the most arrogant things we can do is judge another brother or sister in the body of Christ. We're saying, Lord, your workmanship does not meet up to my standards. We're saying we are better than they are. Pride and arrogance are darkness and brings an occasion of stumbling and are a root for unforgiveness. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Once we fall into unforgiveness, we lose the covering, and it is a reason we are not receiving the grace from God. God is love, but there is something that he hates. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the perverse mouth do I hate. I was seeing most of the causes for discord in the fellowship of light are conflicts out of the heart, and that is conflicts in our thoughts. Most of our sin is not against God, they are against each other. And Mark 7 and 21 says, for from within our hearts of evil men, or it says, no, from within, out of our hearts of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. It goes on. It says, all these evil things proceed from within and defiles the man. I was saying most of what defiles a man is against another man and comes out of his thoughts. Most conflicts with each other are based in a lot of it's misunderstanding and not having the full truth in a matter, or something taking, you know, in the wrong sense. The other is misinformation, or information has been twisted or one-sided in your mind, or in the mind of somebody telling you something. And the enemy does a lot of twisting. And a lot of times this twisting and, you know, what we're thinking and what's being communicated is, you know, is rooted in gossip. Another issue is insecurity, that, you know, brethren that are not secure in who they are in Christ, and they're in a situation where they're trying to protect self, and that insecurity brings, you know, judgments and criticisms and stuff like that. You know, jealousy, you know, which is a based in competition or a competitive spirit. It's also based in rejection, you know, tearing others down to lift self up, or walking in suspicion that, you know, of other people that, you know, they really don't respect or, you know, or have affection for. Sometimes you get into ungodly ambitions, you know, having a desire for power, prestige in the fellowship, and trying to obtain it through illegal means that do not line up with the word of life, wanting a position, a title, or your own ministry that is not ordained of God. These are all out of the heart of men. Evil thoughts defile you and bring you into darkness. So we need to search out our hearts. Luke 11:35 says, look therefore whether the light that is in thee be not darkness. If therefore thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, it shall be wholly full of light, as when the lamp with its bright shining does give thee light. So we're told to take a look whether the light that is in us be not darkness. How can light be darkness? We need to look inside in our spirit and in our soul. We can say we have the light and tell others we are walking in the light, but what is going on in you? What is going on in your spirit? Is there darkness or is there peace? Is there joy? Is there love? What is going on in your thoughts? Are they dark thoughts or good thoughts towards your brother or sister? Are they kind thoughts? Ask yourself, what are your actions like around your brother or sister? Are they dark actions of avoidance, resistance, indifference, or actions of acceptance and patience? The whole body has to be full of light. And that is, in your mind, your will and your emotions. If your body is not full of light, you will not manifest the light through your words or your actions. Luke 11 and 34 says, the lamp of the body is thy eye. When thy eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when it is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. But seeing that the lamp of the body is your vision, your spiritual sight, how you see in the spirit, when your sight is single, which is in the Greek, haplos, and it means folded together, that is single. When your spiritual sight is folded together with God's perspective, your vision is single and clear, and the whole body is full of light. 1 John 1 and 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If your spiritual sight is evil, there is no light, and there's no God. Your entire body is full of darkness. Matthew 6 and 23, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When I looked up mammon in the Greek, it's mammonas, and it says it's of Chaldean origin, and Chaldean is Babylon. And it says it's confidence, that is figuratively wealth personified, that is avarice deified, mammon. Confidence, which you trust or have reliance in. Wealth personified, what you possess in human form. Avarice deified. Avarice is extreme greed for wealth or gain. Deified is what you worship or make your God. Mammon, your possessions are trusting and relying in self. Your confidence is in self and not in God. You worship and make self your God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and self. If you love self, you hate God. If you hang on to self, you are despising or thinking against God. Your treasure is in you, wealth personified, and not God. Matthew 6 and 19 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth. 20 says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. 21, for where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Your thoughts are consumed in your treasure. You either focus on self or you are focused in on God. Who is your master? John 3 and 19 says, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. That means rebuked. 21, but he that does the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God, and that is effective or committed in God. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of power may be of God and not from ourselves. The light is from God and not self. Self is darkness. God said, light shall shine out of darkness. God shined the light in our hearts, that we have treasures in earthen vessels. we are the vessels that came from the earth, and Jesus is the treasure. Colossians 2 and 3 says, in whom, talking about Jesus, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. The light of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus, it said. The light of glory is Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. I was seeing we need to come with an unveiled face. There is nothing covered up or hidden. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, which is covered up or hidden, it is veiled in them that perish, and that perish is destroyed fully. In whom the God of the world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. It says the God of the world has blinded the minds, that a little G God, that is what you have created and is your God, that is the God you are worshiping, and that God may be self. If your mind is blinded, you cannot see the light of knowledge, and you become unbelieving, because the mind of the flesh is in darkness and cannot see the light of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, now the natural man receives nothing, or not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them. James 1 and 14 says, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust, and enticed, then the lust, when it has conceived, beareth sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. We are all tempted by the tempter, the devil, and are drawn away from the light into darkness by our own desires, our own will, our own thoughts. And when temptation and our lust are conceived, it does not bring forth life, it brings forth death, and it traps us in the bondage of sin. It goes on to say, be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, and that's plural, with whom can be no variation, neither shadows that is cast by turning. So every good and perfect spiritual gift is from our Father of light, who in him there is no variation or shadow or shades of darkness. There is only pure light and no darkness. It goes on to say, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creation. And it is his will that we are brought forth into his light by his word of truth, to be a type of first fruits of his creation. Revelations 14 and 4 says, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I was seeing when we are in the waste and darkness, God's Spirit is still moving upon us to try to bring us back to the light. And 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God has divided his light from darkness. There's no variations or shadow, only pure light and darkness. He did create dawn for them that are coming out of darkness into the light. But there is also the people that are walking towards the evening, away from the light into darkness, being drawn away by their own desires, wills, and thoughts. Boy, I got a lot more and I'm running out of time. So, I don't know, maybe I'll just have to share this, finish this off on Tuesday, because I got a lot for him. So, all right, so we're getting a little bumpy, but there is a good ending to this, but we're kind of running out of time, so I'll just have to kind of finish this up next week. So, I love you guys. Let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you for just teaching us to walk in the light, to be led by the word of life, to expose any darkness that is in us, Lord, any unforgiveness, any deceit, any lies of the enemy, anything that's lifting up self over you, Lord. Father, we just ask that that be exposed in our lives, Lord. Father God, just shine your light in us, Lord, and expose any darkness. Father, we just thank you for just giving us the truth on walking in love and walking in light. And we just thank you for your light, Lord. We just thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word of life. We just thank you that we want to walk in obedience to you and to your word, Lord. And we just praise you for that, Lord. We want to be overcomers and just walk pleasing to you, Lord. And we just praise you for that. Father, we just ask you just bless everybody tonight. Just bless their week. Just give them, just fill them fresh with more faith, Lord. Just renew their spirits, Lord. Just give them just a renewed spirit in you, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. Just guide and direct us all, Lord. Help us to just to please you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. I was kind of getting wound up and didn't know where to stop. So we'll wrap it all up next week. Amen.